45 years ago, let me get this turned on here, I always forget. 45 years ago, come this Wednesday, I was at, I'm not going to tell you how old I was because then you'll start putting stuff. 45 years ago, this Wednesday, I was at Bog Springs Camp. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't listening to what the preacher was saying. I was listening to what God was telling me on the inside. And it was overwhelming what he was speaking to me. The preacher didn't matter. But God was speaking to my heart. And I come to know Jesus Christ as my Savior that night. My Independence Day on July 4th. And so that's my second birthday. And so I look at being saved, a child of God, as being free. The only problem is today we find that there are too many people who are thinking that being saved or the plan of salvation or the gospel of Jesus Christ somehow enslaves us. And they've twisted the gospel to a point where, well, they've twisted it to a point where it's no longer freedom and it's no longer the gospel. It's no longer good news. This is how this works. I read about a guy who used a computer program to translate the song Take Me Out to the Ball Game. He wanted to translate it from English into German. And so he got it into German, and so he says, I wonder how accurate the German is. Because he didn't read German. So he wondered how accurate the German was. And so what he did was he had the same program translate it back from the German into English. Now, you know the song, Take Me Out to the Ball Game, Take Me Out to the Crowd, Buy Me Some Peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I ever get back. So let me root for the home team. And if they don't win, it's a shame, for it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out in the old ball game. Now, when he translated it back into German, something got lost in the translation. It sounded a little like this. Execute me to the paw play. Execute me with the masses. Buy me certain ground nuts and cracker fusic. I'm not interested if I never receive back. Let me root for the main team. And if they do not win, it's a dishonor. For there are 1, 2, 3 impacts on you at the old ball play. That sounds dangerous. Sounds like you're getting beat up. So you see, it's the same words. It was translated and then translated back. And you lost something important in the translation. The song is somewhat recognizable, but the meaning of how it comes out is quite different. And the same kind of thing can happen in our understanding of Christ in the gospel, in people's sincere efforts to translate the gospel into something that we can understand. Sometimes things get lost in the translation. And the Jesus that we think we know ends up being a caricature, a cartoon figure, if you will, of who he really is. Somewhat recognizable, but something quite different than what Scripture tells us. So we must be careful that we believe the right gospel. Otherwise, we could be headed in the wrong direction and never experience true freedom in this life or the next. And so that's why we start out in Galatians, the first chapter, and verse 6. And we're going to read verse 6 and the first part of verse 7. And it says this. There we go. I marvel. Uh-oh, it went away. I marvel. One more time. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. There we go. One more time. She's learning. One more time. There you go. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, literally, it's saying here, which is not the same gospel. You see, false teachers were coming after the Apostle Paul and claiming to preach the same gospel as Jesus did, as Paul did. But Paul makes it very clear, they are preaching a different gospel. Don't trust in an altered faith system. Don't turn to another so-called truth. If somebody says this is my truth, then it's true. They're wrong. It's got to be God's truth and not your truth. A few years ago, Robert Weber was traveling from San Francisco to Los Angeles on a plane where he sat next to the window. There was a man that was sitting next to him. He was reading a Christian book, and next to him there was a man, obviously from the Far East, sitting next to him. And Robert Weber just said, "You looked at him." He says, "Excuse me, can you give me a one-liner, just one phrase that captures the essence of your faith?" And he said that we are all part of the problem and we need to get our stuff together. That was the essence of his belief systems. Now Gates answered back and said, "Well, what we believe is that we are all part of the problem, but there is only one man who is the solution, and his name is Jesus. It's not about us. That we can't solve this problem ourselves." And see, Christianity is unique in this because it recognizes that Jesus is the only answer to our problems. All other religions see us as part of the solution. They say, "You got to do this and you got to do that. You got to be better. You got to say this so many times. You got to point this direction. You got to do this and that." And we say, "We can't do anything, but only Jesus can." That's what Christianity is about. He is the one that does all the work. Christ Himself had to come down to save us from our sins. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And anything else that you add to that is not God, the gospel at all, and it's not very good for us. The false teachers that came after Paul were teaching that faith in Christ is not enough. They were telling people, it's fine that you believe in Jesus. That's all good and fine, and you need to do that. But you also have to obey the law in order to have acceptance with God. In other words, you can believe in Him, but in order to complete the deal, you're going to have to fulfill the law and find acceptance in Jesus. You're going to have to make Him happy. You're going to have to score brownie points. You've got to show Him that you're worthy. And like every other religion, they were talking about what we must do in order to get on God's good side. But the Bible, which holds the only true gospel, talks about what God has already done to reconcile us to Himself. He's already done what was necessary. There's nothing that we have to do. When Jesus is on the cross of Calvary, what did He say? "It is finished." Not that He was dead, but His work was finished. There was no more work to be done as far as what it was going to take for us to be saved. It is finished. The sin debt had been paid in full. And all that remains is for us to accept that in faith and by faith. And that's the good news. And the reason why that's good news is because, well, we know in our hearts we could never earn our own freedom. I could never be good enough to be free. I could never do enough good things in order to please God, because He gets so upset about one sin. one thing. And we know it's a constant, sin is a constant struggle. So somebody from the outside had to come in and rescue us. And that somebody is Jesus. I could not rescue myself, but He could and He did. So just trust Him with your life and He'll set you free. And that's the gospel. So you don't need to believe in a different gospel. There's only one true gospel. Trust Him with your life. He'll set you free. Anything else is no gospel or no good news at all. So don't believe in a different gospel. But the rest of verse 7 says, don't believe in a distorted gospel. Let's look in verse 7. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. There are some that trouble you and want to pervert it. Now, false teachers distort the good news. They twist the truth and it confuses people. The false teachers that were following Paul told people they had to earn God's acceptance. They had to earn God's favor and blessing by keeping all the rules. They were saying that faith in Christ is not enough and that there's other things that you and I have to do to get God to like us more. To be honest with you, false teachers are still saying the same things today. And many of God's people are confused. Hold on a second. Do I have to go to church to be a Christian? And do I have to? And in our work, there are still those out. It's called New Lightism. several years back, and still some strains of it in our work today, that if you're not a member of an ABA New Testament church, then you really can't be a part of the Bride of Christ. That you really can't be saved. Well, you know, it's there. There are a lot of people confused. I don't know how many times I still get people, Baptist people, coming up to me who've been in church all their life. Well, let me ask you something. If a person commits suicide, are they saved? Will they go to heaven? I still get those questions. And in case you if you're looking for the answer is yes, if you have accepted Jesus Christ, because there are no conditions on which you will lose your salvation or to gain your salvation. There are many confusing people out there, especially on TV, that are telling you that if you want God's blessings, you go send your money in and you'll get that money back 100-fold or 10-fold. Or we'll give you a prayer cloth and you'll be praying over that and this is your ticket. And you've got those who'll tell you that you better live a pious and a life free of sin or you will not be saved. None of that applies. That's not good news. There's not any good news in the fact that you got to be good in order for you to be saved. That's not good news for me. Maybe it is for you. I kind of doubt it. But maybe it is for you. But it's not for me. Because the Bible says, no, there's not one good, no, not one. None of us are good enough. The good news is that when we accept Jesus Christ by faith, by grace through faith, when we accept that, He covers us with His blood and no longer held accountable for the sin that we commit. That's the good news. That's real good news. Maybe you need to read more Bible verses in order to get closer to God or have for God to like you. Maybe you need to go to church more. Maybe you need to help others more. And those are all good things. But that does not make one bit of difference whether or not God likes you or not. In Ephesians 1, when we go, remember that? Wasn't that long ago? Makes it very clear for us who have trusted God. He says, we are already blessed with every spiritual blessing. And then it says in verse 3. In verse 6 it says, that we are already highly favored by the Lord. God cannot love us any more than He already does. And He will never love us any less than He already loves us. Can we get that? I'm not here to try to please God in order to gain favor. I am already in His favor. And I should do these good things and these things that I want to do because I want to do those for Him because He loves me so much. Not because I'm trying to gain His favor. Not because I'm trying to get Him to love me more. It doesn't work like that with Him. Ask anybody, anytime anybody adds anything to the faith as a requirement for God's acceptance, then all kinds of red flags should go up. Anytime when the pure and living water of God's good news gets tainted with any additive, then we should react against it. And when we as believers begin to think that we have not done enough to earn God's blessings and favor, then all kinds of warnings should go off in our head. Anyone who believes in Christ is blessed. That's it. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Please, whatever you do, don't believe in a different gospel. Don't believe in a distorted gospel. And I hate to tell you this, but there's another kind of gospel. And it's the most dangerous one out there because it'll literally send you to hell if you follow it. Let's look in verse 8 and 9. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Well, let's go to verse 9. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. The word accursed is a word called anathema. It is utterly destroyed. It is bad. It is a word. Don't depend on a doctrine that will only condemn you in the end. Don't trust in a teaching that will destroy you in this life and the next. Whenever we contaminate the gospel with anything other than simple faith, then we condemn ourselves to hell. A perverted gospel poisons all who swallow it. And I know that's strong language, but that's the language of the Bible. Anathema, it means devoted to destruction. So don't miss. So that you don't miss it, he repeats it. Two exact same verses, wanting you to know that the gospel is the most important thing. Now we can miss on a lot of other quote doctrines. We can be wrong in a lot of other things, but we best not be wrong in this because it leads to destruction. If you're basing your salvation on being a good person, doing good things, and living a clean and right life, if you're basing your salvation on coming to church every Sunday morning, if you're basing your salvation on praying every day and all of this, if that's what you're basing your salvation on, you're lost in a goose and one day you will die and go to hell. I'm sorry. It's not about that. As people engage in practices and embrace ideas that are spiritually poisonous, they think that it's making them more spiritual. But in reality, it's killing them. Don't believe in a different gospel. Don't believe in a distorted gospel. Do not believe in a damned gospel. Because it literally will send you to hell if you believe that you can get there on your own works and on your own merits. I can't and you can't. No one from the very beginning, Adam, to Adam and Eve, to this very point in time, there's only been one person that's ever been able to do that. Live good enough to be accepted into the heaven on his own, and that is Jesus Christ, and he paid that price for us as a sacrifice for us so that we would be able to be cleansed from that sin and be able to enter into the gates of heaven. There are so many people out there distorting this gospel, making it something less than good news, making it something, well, that we can do, and we can't. And if you're basing your salvation upon this membership of this church, or the number of times that you give your money, or the number of times you come fill your pews, you are going to be sadly mistaken if you have not asked Jesus Christ into your heart and your life. But I want you to believe in the divine gospel. Depend upon the good news that comes from God Himself. Trust in His Word and His Word alone. And you see, you don't have to live our lives trying to please people. We don't need to worry about what people will think. Let's look at verse 10. In verse 10 it says, For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. He's saying, all right, men are telling me I need to live, you need to live this way, you need to be saved this way, you need to be by faith, and you need to add the law to it and keep the law as best you can. And God is saying no. So am I going to be pleasing men or am I going to be pleasing God? Let me tell you something. I know the answer to that. I don't always exhibit it in my life, but I know that we need to be pleasing God. When we try to please everybody, it only puts us in terrible bondage, and we don't have to do it. We don't have to live our lives trying to please people. And all we have to do is trust Christ and commit our lives to Him. Look in verses 11 and 12. It says, But now I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. And in verse 12, it says, For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul did not get his gospel from any man. Man did not make this gospel up, because who's going to make that up? It don't make sense. We need to be doing something to earn our salvation. God gave it to him directly. Paul got it directly from Jesus Christ himself. So what is this gospel? I've talked about what it's not, but what is it? Well, let's turn to Acts 13, 26 through 31. This is a record of what Paul, when Paul was in Galatia. So this is the gospel that he told them was true. This is the gospel that they were starting to turn away from. And so in verse 27 it says, For those who dwell in Jerusalem. Go back one more. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. Verse 28, it says, And though they found no cause for death in him, they have asked Pilate that he should be put to death. This is talking about Jesus. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. I think you're getting the gospel here. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers. This is the gospel that Paul preached. This is the gospel that Paul got directly from Jesus himself. This is the divine gospel, and it's very simple. Christ died for our sins and rose again. And let me say it again. Christ died for our sins and rose again. That's the good news. We are not inserted in that in any way, shape, or form. We did not cause any of that to happen. I did not do one good thing. I did not say one good word in order for God to do that. That is the good news. Look in verses 38 and 39. It says, Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. He says, You are justified by all the things that the law could not cleanse you from. It's this faith, by believing and trusting in Him, you can be justified beyond what anything the law of Moses could justify you from. This is the gospel that Paul preached. This is the gospel that Paul got directly from Christ Himself. So who is the one that set us free from sin? Is it the one who tried to keep the law of Moses? No. Is it the one who believes? Faith and faith alone sets us free. Trying to keep a law only puts us in bondage. Not because the law is bad, but because we are. If you're trying to keep the law, if you're trying to say, I'm going to please God by coming to church, I'm going to please God by doing this, 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 and this in my life, then you're going about it all wrong. If you've never asked Christ into your heart, if you've never truly believed, then that's what you've got to do first. That's the only thing that will please Him. That's the gospel that comes from God. And that's the gospel we need to depend on every day. Trust Christ and experience forgiveness and freedom from your sin. Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther, the film Luther, describes the struggles of a young scholar to recite this simple gospel message he was reading to the Bible. And remember the rules of the Catholic Church. You know, you had all these rules in order to please God and the church. And so here he was, and he's got this simple gospel. Martin Luther's own religious upbringing taught him that the gospel was an exercise in fear. You don't want to make God mad at you. You've got to make sure that you live your life right. Later, as he preached to his congregation in Wittenberg, Martin Luther dared to declare the truth of this simple gospel over the terrors of the institutional church. Standing before his congregation, he says this: terrible, unforgiving. That's how I saw God. Punishing us in this life, committing us to purgatory after death, sentencing sinners to burn in hell for all eternity. But I was wrong. He said, I was wrong. Those who see God as angry do not see Him rightly, but look upon a curtain as if a dark storm cloud had been drawn across His face. We truly believe that Christ is our Savior, then we have a God of love. And to see God in faith is to look upon His friendly heart. So when the devil throws your sins in your face and declares that you deserve death and hell, tell him this. Tell him, I admit that I deserve death and hell, but what of it? For I know one who suffered and made satisfaction in my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, Son of God, and where He is, there I shall be also. That is the simple gospel that launched the Reformation. Did they get everything right? No. But he got this simple message right, that it was by faith and not of any other works that the church was telling you that you had to fulfill. Christ died for our sins, and we must believe this simple gospel. Otherwise, who could be sure of their salvation? Did what I did 45 years ago count now? Because I haven't been perfect in the last 45 years. Did it count? Yes, it did. It counted. From that moment on, I was His, and I was highly favored and greatly exalted. There were times that He wasn't real happy with me, but He didn't love me any more or any less than He did that night so many years ago. And I believe that I've been saved every moment of every day since. You know, otherwise we'd wonder if we've done enough. Have we done enough? Are we sincere enough? Are we good enough for heaven? I'd be constantly worried about that, but I don't have to worry about that because I know that my God has promised me that when I die, I'll be with Him. And that's, Christ died for our sins. Christ rose again. And all I need to do is trust Him. And I did. And that's the simple gospel that comes from God Himself. It's not a matter of praying the right prayer. Don't be caught up in the words. You didn't say this word right, or you know, you don't have your theology of the end times right, so I don't know if you can be saved. No, it's just this simple. It's just this simple. So don't believe in a different gospel. Don't believe in a distorted gospel. Don't believe in a damn gospel, but instead believe the divine gospel. It's the gospel that sets the believer totally free from the rules and the regulations of the law, which did nothing but condemn you, but sets you free to live your life in accordance to His will. Or not. I always have a decision. I always had the choice. When I was growing up, to either obey my folks or not. Sometimes I did, sometimes I didn't. But when I didn't, I guarantee you, there were times that I got punished, but my dad did not love me, or my mom did not love me any less because of it. You know, it's not a matter of praying the right prayer. It's not simply a matter of doing the right things. It's not simply a matter of being sincere enough. It's just simply a matter of trust, of trusting Him. When you're in a disaster, when your life becomes a disaster, on whom do you rely? On what do you depend on when your world is falling apart? What do you trust in when your survival is at stake? There's a lot of people who'll trust in their liquor, they'll trust in their food, they'll just trust in themselves to try to get them through life. And those things will eventually fail, some faster than others. I will tell you this, if you're here today and you've never asked and trust Jesus Christ to solve your life problems, I'll tell you, and I invite you, and I believe that Christ is probably inviting you through the Spirit of God into your heart, trust Christ with your life. Ask Him to save your soul. Believe and trust in Him, and He will never fail. It's that simple. That simple. All this other stuff is side issues. Does God want you to come to church? Does God want you to do all these good things? Yes. But it's not a matter of salvation. It's a matter of discipline. He wants you to be His. Don't get caught up. Believers, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you understand intimate, you know this stuff, don't get caught up in the rules and regulations that we put on other people about how a Christian got to be before they can be saved. Well, you know, I don't think that person's ready to be saved yet, because their life is pretty bad. And how can you be saved and not come to church? And the list goes on. How can you be saved and being so mean? The list goes on and on. And sometimes we make salvation a little bit more complicated than it is. And it's really simple. When a person comes and says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He lived that perfect life. And I believe He died for my sins. And I believe on the third day He was raised up. I believe. Jesus, there's something that happens that changes, and you become a child of God. If you're here this morning and you've never believed, you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life, you've never put your trust in Him, maybe you put your trust in other things, maybe you think your salvation is going to come by something that you're going to do, or maybe your salvation's in drugs and alcohol. Maybe your salvation's going to be found in someone else who's going to save you. That person in your life, that significant other in your life that's going to save you. Maybe it's that church that you come and visit and join. Maybe that church will save you. You cannot be saved apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't do it yourself, and no one else can do it for you, save him. And so as we prepare for an invitation, I want to warn you a little bit. If you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart and life, in a few minutes, we're going to be having an invitation. It's going to be your opportunity to either come and accept him as Savior, or maybe even at your, you know, wherever you're at, even in your pew. But I believe Christ, the Spirit of God, is going to be talking to you directly. You're going to be that earth thing. You'll know. Don't deny it. Just accept it. Trust it. Believe again. Have your forever changed. So as we stand and we sing this morning, would you allow the Spirit of God to change you? This is for the believers. Are we, as believers, trying to do the good things because we're trying to please God, make things easier for ourselves, or are we doing it simply because we love Him, because He first loved us? Something to consider, our motives, why we do the things that we do. So as we sing this morning, whatever it is that God is dealing with your heart about,